ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, November 23rd, 2018. The international break is finally over. The MLS Cup playoffs are back on Sunday. And to talk about the Atlanta United versus New York Rebel matchup, Michael Lewis. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing well, Michael. I'm going to ask a very simple question, very straightforward question to start this. Vatsil Metro, is that done?
Oh, boy. You know, it could be this year. This is a different team, a special team. In Red Bull / New York Metro, New York, New Jersey Metro Stars history, they seem to be more level-headed, better depth, well-coached. They've had some well-coached teams in the past, but I just feel like this could very well be their year. 10 years ago, they went to MLS Cup. They were the Cinderella team against the Columbus Crew, when the Columbus Crew was called the Columbus Crew instead of this Columbus Crew FC. Stuff, but Columbus was the better team in the league that year and the better team that day. This year, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you know, I think they're going to get past Atlanta. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy series. This could maybe well be the MLS Cup in the Eastern Conference Finals rather than the MLS Cup itself. Only history will say that.
You know, Michael, I last year there was a moment during the playoff run for TFC where it was just like, yeah, they're going to win. And it just became obvious. And I kind of get that feeling with NYRB this year. But we'll see. I don't want to jinx it because I know the Metros have a little bit of history there. But tell me, you're someone that's been around for a long time. What would it mean to that fan base if they were to finally shed that off and end the joke once and for all?
Oh, boy. You know, they are, I guess, the closest thing in the league to the Chicago Cubs, who took a century before they won a title, more than a century. The Boston Red Sox and the curse of the Bambino before they won a championship in like 8 decades. And granted, 23 years is nothing like what those fans had to endure. But that would probably be the closest thing, that just getting over that hump. You know, the team has had good players and good teams during the years. They just could not, get to the promised land of MLS. This, again, is a different team. It has more depth. And I think it's confidence. And it's not a cocky confidence, but it's confidence that they can do the job. Now, again, saying that, Atlanta... We'll have something to say about that. Atlanta had a pretty damn good year. These teams were separated by 1 point, even though the Red Bulls had the advantage over Atlanta United in the regular season matches. But right now, I think you could throw all that out because this is mano a mano, or timo a timo.
Michael, when we look back at the season that the Red Bulls did have, it was a season that finished very strong. And usually, it's how you finish and how you enter an MLS Cup playoff. It will dictate your play. How impressive was the last few months of the season for you, where New York Red Bulls at some point seemed unattainable? The Shield seemed unattainable. Atlanta was running so hot. But the Red Bulls were able to keep on putting the pressure, get that shield, and get that momentum heading into playoffs. So how impressed were you by this late-season surge from the best team in the league this year?
I was quite impressed. I mean, let's face it, Atlanta was hot, and then they cooled off, which allowed the Red Bulls to move past them. But, you know, you have to remember, they had a rookie coach in charge since June, Jesse Marsh, who been around the MLS block and then some, had left to go to RB Leipzig as an assistant coach, perhaps to be the head coach there someday. He gave the torch to Chris Armas, who had been his assistant for a couple of years. There really wasn't much of a change of tune in the team. I mean, yes, there were small little changes here or there, but they continued the same style. The players continued to go out and when I say the same style, I mean that pressing defense that tries to suffocate teams before they get to midfield or at midfield. And they just continue to, I think, get better, get used to Chris Armas's coaching and style, his coaching style through the years. And I just think they just got more confident as the year went on. You know, they're not a fantastic goal-scoring team. They're not going to beat you 4-0 all the time. The core of this team is built in its defense. And when I say defense, it's team defense that goes back to pressuring at midfield. They have a solid midfield as well. And then you take a look at their back line. They've got four starters that have had international experience this year. Tim Parker has probably the least, but he was called up to the U.S. national team. Aaron Long coming back from the U.S. European matches. Then you have Kamar Lawrence on the left side, left back with the Jamaican team. He's a veteran at the age of like in his mid-20s. And Michael Murillo, who performed in the World Cup with Panama. So that's a pretty solid back line that, for the most part, they've stayed away from injuries and they've played well. And you have Luis Robles in goal, who has made the saves when they've had to. So you put all that together, and they have been a tough nut to crack. Again, it's team defense, but obviously that back five has been impressive. And, of course, I haven't mentioned Tyler Adams, who I still think is the key to the team's success, because I feel like he's like the Flash. I don't know if any of your of your listeners know who the Flash is. It's like you turn around and he's here, there, everywhere else, and I'm trying to figure out how in the hell did he get there. His vision of the game is getting better. He knows when to take risks. I know there's a lot of rumors, talk that this is going to be his last year with the team, which I'm very happy for him that he'll have an opportunity to go to Europe, most likely Leipzig, as it turns out. But it'll be interesting to see how the team does without him next year. But again, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I know we're supposed to be talking about November and perhaps December the 8th. But I think he is the key to the ultimate success of the team. I'm from the school that if you have a strong holding or defensive midfielder, you can go a long way. And gee, who's the coach of the Red Bulls? That's Chris Armas. He was arguably the best holding/defensive midfielder of his generation in Major League Soccer. Now, granted, Chris inherited Tyler Adams from Jesse Marsh in the previous regime, but it is so important to have someone there who could stop attacks and start them. And I think Tyler Adams is going to be a key player for the U.S. national team in the future as well.
Michael, you mentioned the Flash, and it was funny because it reminded me of the tying goal against Columbus in the second leg, where Tyler Adams starts the movement going forward in the final third, and then is the one to make the pass too to get that goal from Waye. So that was a nice one too.
It's funny you mentioned that because he touched the ball three times on that possession. I remember looking at it, and I'm writing down the numbers of the players because, fortunately, this goal was easy to predict. On the quick instant replay to check out the numbers. The angle was perfect, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, he touched the ball like three times in seven passes and in different positions, and that was quite impressive. And we all talk about his defensive abilities, but he does contribute offensively. He is now. He's not an attacking midfielder. But again, I think having a strong defensive midfielder, someone in the middle there, goes a very, very long way.
Just before I let Dwayne jump in, Michael, I want to ask you this. You mentioned Jesse Marsh and Chris Armas, and I was wondering if it was a benefit for the Red Bulls to have a system that was well-defined. So when you take the head coach out, the system doesn't really change and the players don't necessarily have a big change of mentality or way of playing identity. Was that a real benefit for the Red Bulls to have a certain amount of continuity even though they changed coach midway through the season?
I think that was just so vital for the team's success. The team just did not, it rarely missed a beat. I mean, there might have been a few hiccups here or there. Maybe internally, there might have been a few things that we never heard about. But the fact that, you know, Chris Armas wasn't going to radically change things was so important because the team was pointed in the right direction in June. I don't have their record in front of me, but they were battling. They were either in first or second place at the time, probably in second. But, you know, just because it was a smooth transition. In many respects, it feels like there wasn't a new coach. Yeah, that's how smooth it was. And we could talk about NYCFC on how they went through similar experience where the coach leaves on his own volition, and they did not have a very good ending to the season. But we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, I might come back to NYCFC in a minute. But sure. You mentioned Tyler Adams. He's not going to win the MVP because he's a defender. But is he the MVP in Major League Soccer this year?
You know, I think it's a good point. I know we, and when I say we, the media and maybe the rest of the soccer community, we're in love with forwards who score a lot of goals. I understand that. That's how I think I, in the Stone Age, when I started learning soccer, that was the big thing, obviously. Who was your leading goal scorer, and that's so important, and attacking players as well, too. Number 10s or those players in those roles get a lot of headlines and plaudits, but he could very well be the MVP. A good, very, very good point there. Of course, again, I'm biased because what I said about defensive and holding midfielders, they are the key to a team. If you take a look at successful teams, for the most part, there are exceptions, but many teams always have that player in the middle who knows what to do. And I'll go back to Chris Armas's career, if it's okay. He was with the Chicago Fire. He broke up so many different plays, made life miserable for the best number 10s in the league. And I'm talking about Marco Echeverri, Carlos Valderrama, Preki. But he also understood his capabilities, his strengths and weaknesses. When he won the ball, he gave it to someone else. And if he was fortunate to have someone like a Peter Novak who could do magical things with the ball. But to me, that is just so vital. I mean, you take a look at other teams through the history of soccer, and you have a ball winner there who knows what he or she is doing. I remember Michelle Akers for the U.S. national team. She was vital to the team's success to the 1999 Women's World Cup title. She turned things around. When she wasn't in the lineup, different team out there.
No doubt. Michael, we throw this 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, whatever stuff around when it comes to MLS. To me, the Red Bulls are the ultimate example of MLS 3.0 because they changed their direction after Henri left. And, you know, they used to be the high market team. NYCFC might become what the Red Bulls were back then. What has been the key to this team, who has been, not even arguably, literally the best team in MLS over the last 3 years consistently? What has been the biggest thing that they have done right during that time to put them in this position?
Oh, boy, you're making me think fast and on my feet now. You know, again, it's, I think, keeping that philosophy of bringing up homegrown players. They might not necessarily be stars or superstars or stars, but they are, many of them have turned into very good role players. And, you know, one person we don't mention a lot, and I think he's had a lot of success in behind the scenes in this, is their sporting director, Dennis Hamlet. And obviously he worked closely with Jesse Marsh into starting this philosophy, following it. And I know it's hurt them, quote unquote, at the gate, because they don't have a real star from Europe. And granted, yes, there's Bradley Wright Phillips, but when I say star, I guess I mean name player. Someone like you said, a Thierry Henry, even a Tim Cahill, who was well-known internationally. But they have proven you don't necessarily need big names to be successful in this league. Can they prove that you don't need big names to win MLS Cup? Well, we'll find out starting this Sunday.
Now, looking back at the actual matchup versus Atlanta, how confident are you if you were in charge of the Red Bulls?
I think I'd be confident knowing that at worst, well, they've never let Joseph Martinez score against them in, I think, 3 or 4 games over the last 2 seasons, which has to make me feel good, but also probably would bring me back to reality to know that sooner or later he's good for at least one goal somewhere down the line, because you can't shut out someone, a goal-scoring machine like him, someone who works that hard to get into position for to score goals. All he needs is one mistake by a defense, and boom, he's celebrating. But the fact that the team just knows itself, I think after that first result against Columbus, and I was one of those people saying, oy vey, here we go again. You know, the Red Bulls are losing 1-0. They on the even though they it was on the road, it wasn't the end of the world. There were no road goals that they gave up, you know, and they came back and did a job on Columbus. And I think, and that was a 3-0 win. Yes, they had 2 late goals, but they, I think there's just inner confidence in themselves, knowing that they could do the job. I think they could probably care less about what anyone else has to say about them. And again, I don't think it's a cockiness. I just think it's an inner confidence in that has been instilled in many of the players, or they just have it naturally.
Now, Michael, I want to ask you this question. I know you've been covering the league and MLS Cup for 22 years coming this year, and I want to see you on the other side of that divide. How impressive has Atlanta been from your perspective, from seeing the different eras of this league, from seeing different type of expansion, team folding? How impressive has Atlanta been over the last 2 years in your perspective?
Well, right place at the right time, right manager, which I guess Tata is not going to be around next year. But, it's difficult to put together an expansion team. Yes, in MLS, it's easier because you're in the expansion draft. You only need to take 5 players from other teams, and the rest of the world is your marketplace, which you could build a team, a pretty decent team, overnight. And obviously Atlanta did, not a pretty decent team, a damn good team. You know, if they don't lose in the shootout to Columbus last year, maybe they're going to MLS Cup last year, and they could wind up this year too. They knew what they, Martino knew what he needed. He put together the right combination of players. And when I say right place at the right time, man, they're playing in a stadium that holds 70,000 people. I have not been down there. I might wind up being down there December 8th. I want to see what it feels like, but there's nothing like having a full house indoors. With the noise in an indoor stadium, backing you, that's got to be a big, big deal. What they have done in 2 years has been simply amazing. Very few teams in MLS, expansion teams, have been able to pull that off in a short period of time. Chicago Fire, way back in 1998, different time, they give them credit, give Bob Bradley credit for putting together a championship team from, in their first year. But, look at Toronto. They had so many losing seasons before they got their act together. And, outside of this past year, the last 2 or 3 years, the team has been arguably the best team in the league. So it's not necessarily easy to put together a successful expansion team, but one that could win the whole thing.
No doubt, Michael. Just I'll put it right on record. I hope that I'm in New York City New Jersey in a couple weeks, because I think you have to earn it a little bit. And I'm coming from Toronto, where they definitely earned it a little bit. But let's turn the page a little bit and talk about the other team in New York City, the team that's in New York City, NYCFC. And I'm just going to ask you bluntly, are they okay? What's going on there?
Well, this is you talk about a tale of two teams in maybe not the same city, but the same area. They change coaches within weeks of one another, one is highly successful and the other just has like a great cloud over them afterwards. You know, in Domi Torrent, who, don't get me wrong, he's a very, very good coach. He was like, I guess the, I called him the first lieutenant for so many years to Pep Guardiola. And, you know, he has been successful in his own right when he has coached teams. But when he took over NYCFC in June, he used a different style than Patrick Vieira, his predecessor, did. And I think, you know, when you put in a new style in the middle of the season for a team that has enjoyed success for 2.5 seasons, it's difficult to expect the team to turn that into better soccer or wins overnight. And, you know, and let's face it, in professional soccer, it's all about winning. I mean, it's nice to play good soccer, but ultimately it's about winning. Patrick Vieira liked to have the team develop, take its time, move the ball around. Domi Torrent liked to be a little more direct. And, you know, you bring in certain players with certain abilities and skills, and maybe some of these players just could not play as well as the new coach wanted them to in a short period of time. Granted, the team had some injuries. You know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but a 20-year-old player, Yangel Herrera, by the way, a defensive midfielder, was out for the longest period of time. I don't know. I forgot how many games, or it seemed to be at least half the season, and that hurt the defensive midfield there. They had Alexander Ring, but they needed, for this team to be successful, they needed two strong players at central mid over there. That hurt them. And they really just never got their act together. From all reports that I've heard, Torrent is going to be back next year. And if he's going to be back, that means there's going to be some changes in personnel. He's going to bring in his players. The reason why he didn't do it, bring in his players in the middle of the season, well, the team had a winning record at the time. I think they were, if I'm not mistaken, there was something like 8-4-2. And if it ain't broke, why fix it? Well, right now this team is broken a bit, and it's time to do some fixing. I don't think there's going to be necessarily a major overhaul, but there'll be enough names that'll some new names that'll be coming, you know, joining the team in January and February. Don't ask me who. That's my guess is as good as anyone else, though.
Michael Lewis of Front Row Soccer. Michael, thank you very much for your time today, and hopefully you enjoy the games on Sunday.
Thank you very much. My pleasure being on once again.
We'll be right back after this very short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Thanks again to Michael Lewis. You can follow Michael on Twitter at SoccerWriter, and you can find his work on Front Row Soccer. Dwayne, a little bit of time left on today's show. There's another game on Sunday as well. Portland Timbers versus Sporting Kansas City.
There is indeed. And look, I have trouble not thinking that SKC, your pick to win MLS Cup last year, is just not this like quiet little sleeper agent that's just sort of floating through the playoffs and it's going to win everything at the end of the day. Like, yeah, they're a solid team. Look, Vermees, Peter Vermees has done a wonderful job there, and this is just another example of that. And when I think if you're an MLS manager, if you're an MLS owner, what you'd want is Peter Vermees to as your guy, because what he does so very well, it's just like RSL back in the day, is that every year you're there, and you know this is a playoff league. You know there are so many variables that are going on that – every so often, the variables are going to hit in this league, and I think that that's kind of SKC's model. There's no one player you point at in that team and go, that's why. It's not like last year with Javinko or Bradley Wright Phillips or what have you. It's just like SKC. They're a model and they're good and they might get it done. Now, that said, Portland has that player you point to, right?
Diego Valeri.
Exactly.
Diego.
I think he is the best player left still playing in Major League Soccer right now. So when you have the best player playing, just, we talked about it yesterday on our Two Solitudes for Patreons only, $2 a month. You can get that if you want. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about Jordan Heidema and how this is Canada's sort of wild card, is that they, even though they're not the best team at all, they have the best player, and that gives them a chance. It's the same thing with Portland. They have a chance because they have that player.
Yeah, Diego Valeri is a game changer. You give him an opportunity on a set piece, or just you give him opportunity to give the ball to his teammates, and yeah, it could be a very, very surprising result of that game. But SKC is the favorite and is still my pick to make it to the MLS Cup final with the Red Bulls. So we'll see if it happens. Going chalk all the way to the final, and then SKC surprise them all and finally wins it after I predicted him for the last 3 years.
A blind nut gets a squirrel? What?
A nut doesn't have any eyes, so it can't be blind, but a blind squirrel still finds a nut sometimes. You know.
A blind nut. I just said that, didn't I? Oh, well. Yeah, there you go. Good pick. It's SKC. As I said, look, you're right to pick them every year. Just like back in the day, people were right to pick SKC. Not SKC, pardon me. I have Kansas City in the brain. Salt Lake City as the team that would win every year. Now their ownership has changed, their format has changed, so they're not that team anymore, but back in the day they were. And I think SKC is the same thing now. They are the modern day RSL is what I'm saying. So look, I'm excited by Sunday. I'm happy to have this back. God, that was a long international break.
And we had Canada games in the meantime. Still felt long though.
Yeah, I know. And I like in the Nations League. The Nations League's fun. It is.
Well, it's cute. Fun is a big name. I think it's cute and it passes time.
Yeah, football's coming home-ish. So, yeah, it's better than what it was. And, you know, I think that in England right now, the Nations League is the greatest thing that was ever invented. And if England does manage to win this damn thing next June, that they're probably just going to advocate for it to end right there and they'd be the ultimate Nations League champion. But, I'm looking forward to Sunday. It's going to be a fun day. And, you know, it's been long enough now, Kevin, that you and I, who both don't have horses in this race, can sort of just sit back and enjoy the ride the rest of the way. But I am a bitter man. I am. Anyone who knows me will back this up. So what I want, I'm happy with 3 of the 4 teams winning MLS Cup. But you know what, Atlanta folks, you have not earned this yet. I'm so cheering for NYRB.
You would just feel like you're too new. It's like you haven't paid your dues yet. We'll see. We'll see if it happens.
You have to go through the ups and downs. So TFC, say what you want. You may hate Toronto. A lot of people listening to this podcast probably do. But, oh, my God, you've got to admit that the fans that stood there day in, day out for all of that ride earned that stuff. Atlanta, no. They were born on third and thought they hit the triple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's true. But they earned that triple, too, by putting the money where their mouth is for the order. So there's other ways to look at it, yes. But it'll be a fascinating matchup on both sides of the conference finals. You can watch those games on TSN, TVA Sports, and on FS1 and ESPN on Sunday, 5 p.m. for the Eastern Conference Final, 9:30 p.m. for the Western Conference Final. As always, we'll be back Monday with a review of those games. We'll talk about other things, too. We wanted to talk about the derby of Lyon versus Saint-Étienne, but we ran out of time. There's a lot of interesting derby, and we'll get back to this discussion very soon, Dwayne.
Absolutely. And if you're not doing anything this afternoon and you have BN Sports, you have DAZN, throw that one on. That is one of the most underrated derbies in the world.
Yep, and the Sunday, there's the other, maybe not underrated, one of the biggest and most interesting and fascinating derby, River Plate versus Boca Juniors in the second leg of the Copa Libertadores final, the Champions League of the CONMEBOL. This happens on Sunday, too, and that will be crazy. Like, flares in the stands and fights and drama, and yeah, it'll be that type of crazy. But as always, we'll be back Monday to talk about it with Dwayne Rollins and myself. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larme. Thanks again to Michael Lewis of Front Row Soccer. He has covered the last 22 MLS Cup, and we'll be there as well this year. If it's in New York or Atlanta or anywhere, he will be there, and we'll probably have him on as well. And until next time, as always, which will be Monday, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.